Welcome back to the Dispatches debate. We're exploring tensions between Muslims and free speech. In a speech last month, the Pope quoted from a medieval theologian using these provocative words: "Show me just what Muhammad brought that was new, and there you will find things only evil and inhuman, such as his command to spread by the sword the faith he preached." Well, the result was another round of furious protests in many countries, including Britain. Our next guest is Taji Mustafa. He is a London-based representative of the Islamic group Hizb ut-Tahrir, which loudly condemned the Pope for what he said. Hizb ut-Tahrir is a controversial group within the Muslim community, and the government has threatened in the past to ban it. Imran Khan, your questions.
You'd agree, Mr. Mustafa, like I think all people here, that the Pope is a very influential individual.
Absolutely. He's a world statesman whose every word carries significance. Now, in terms of his comments, I have no problem with debates, with dialogue, with engaging with people. But why did he have to choose and hide behind the words of a 14th century emperor, describing Islam, as was just introduced by Jon Snow, in a provocative manner, saying that Islam brought nothing but evil and inhuman things? So firstly, that was the insult which caused such a furore, and I think rightly so in my opinion, and led to a lot of very peaceful demonstrations across the world. But it came in a context. This is a world where Bush is talking about Islamofascist. Blair is talking about aspects of Islam being an evil ideology in their war on terror rhetoric. And in that frame came the Pope talking about Islam being evil. And so it's very easy to understand how this incendiary comments blew out. And so this added fuel to the war on terror propaganda, leaving Bush and Blair to carry on with their murderous wars, killing 500,000 people. And the world focuses on Jack Straw's comments, these ridiculous comments about whether the Pope made his insulting comments, rather than the real crimes which have been committed in our day and age.
So had those comments been made... had those comments been made in a different context, would there have been the same sort of objection?
Muslims have no problem with dialogue. My organization globally distributed a challenge, a leaflet, an open challenge to the Pope. You want to discuss the substantive issues? Islam and violence, let's look at Christianity and violence. You're from the papacy, which has a very bloody history, may I say, in terms of the crusade. Let us sit down and discuss. We're not averse to discussion. But what Muslims will not accept, and what no human being, Muslim or not, should accept, gratuitous insults about their beliefs, their faith, or anything dear to them.
It's done to provoke, not to debate.
Is that right? This is not a debate. A pejorative, insulting statement. And in his speech, the whole of which I have read, he made a one-sided analysis that somehow Christianity is linked with reason, Islam is linked with violence. In front of him, when he's talking about violence and religion, in front of him is Tony Blair going to Iraq to spread, by the gun, his very beliefs in liberal democracy. Why didn't he analyze that in terms of people using violence to spread their beliefs? Why pick on Islam? So to be very, very clear, there's an agenda here. There's an agenda to demonize, to vilify Islam as part of this global war on terror. And Muslims will not accept this vilification. And I think other people should be aware to it as well.
One last question, because we've heard that there's no such thing as Islamophobia, that it doesn't exist. It's made up and people hide behind it in order to accuse people of racism and to stop freedom of speech. In your opinion, your experience, is there a rise in Islam? Does it exist? What does it mean?
Well, let's look at the last 2 weeks. Jack Straw's comments. John Reed followed in. You know, Muslim parents, you're very naughty the way you're raising your kids. It's a threat. Ruth Kelly, Muslim schools preach extremism. We've then had on the back of that, Muslim woman being attacked. In Jack Straw's constituency, she was surrounded and told, take that thing off. Jack said so. What is this? This is pure evidence that the incendiary comments of politicians are leading to attacks and are diverting people from holding those politicians to account about their murderous wars and policies, which is leading all of us to be unsafe. So definitely on the ground, evidence points to the fact that these comments have a huge impact in community cohesion and relations between all of us.
Thank you,
Imran Khan. Kenan Malik, your questions.
Haven't we become too touchy-feely about everything? The Pope makes, in an offhand way, quote some medieval emperor in a speech he makes, not about Islam, but about the relationship between science and religion, and everybody jumps on it. Doesn't it show that people are just waiting to get offended?
The Pope's comments were largely about Islam. And Mr. Malik, would it be okay to start with?
You haven't read the speech. If you think
I have read the speech.
You haven't read the speech. If you think it was largely about Islam,
he spoke about reason.
The speech was about the relationship between religion and science.
And why did he single out Islam for criticism?
There was an offhand remark he made about the question of Islam, quoting a medieval emperor. The point I'm making is that people are waiting to get offended by those kinds of issues.
Will you be offended if I insult your mom? Of course you'd be. As a reasonable, rational human being, I'd expect you to have things which upset you. And any of us here, does that give me the right to insult your mom gratuitously? Of course not. I'm a decent person. So when you do say things, they do cause offense. The Pope chose, why hide behind the words of a 14th century? Why? This is a professor of theology, Cardinal Ratzenberg, now the Pope. He could have chosen a million and one things to say. Why in this climate, war and terror, demonization of Muslims across Europe, in that you, Mr. Pope, it's highly irresponsible to come with such quotes. And surely he of all people should know better.
Muslim leaders, Islamic organizations, including yours, are not exactly known for their progressive views about gays, women, Jews, and so on. Isn't the spectacle of you accusing the Pope of backward views a bit like Donald Trump accusing Bill Gates of having too much money?
That's a ridiculous contrast. If I may say so, that's a ridiculous contrast. The reality is what? People have a right, when they are offended, to say so. Don't you ever get offended? Do you expect 20 million?
Absolutely.
How do you expect?
And I would say so. But the point is that I also accept the right of anybody to offend me.
What you're demanding? You're demanding the freedom to insult. Let me be very, very clear. In this debate, which is not about freedom of speech, you are demanding the freedom to insult. In no civilized society.
I am happy for people to insult me.
In no civilized society.
I think people should have the right to insult me.
That is the most uncivilized thing. In no civilized society should people accept the right to insult others. Jews should not be insulted. Christians should not be insulted. And me as a Muslim or anybody else should not have to live in a society where my beliefs are insulted. Will that lead to harmony? Will that not lead to tensions? So it's very irrational, illogical, and nonsensical to say it's okay to go around insulting one another.
Taji Mustafa, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, in a moment, we want to give our audience a final vote on where they stand on Muslims and free speech. But first... Well, the result is in. Our studio audience has voted. Let's take a look at what their findings were. Are Muslims threatening freedom of speech? Very interesting indeed. Extraordinarily close. And a tremendous tribute to both our advocates for this very interesting vote. To the question, are Muslims threatening freedom of speech? That result clearly seems to indicate that in a multicultural society, there is too high a price to be paid for unfettered free speech. Freedom from offence is an equally important right for all to enjoy. A very interesting finding and a very interesting opening salvo for your national debate, Prime Minister. That's it from us. Thank you very much for watching Dispatches. It's back again on Monday, same time. Good night.